let's get ready to dive into God's word. So if you have a Bible, you want to go ahead and open it up to Mark chapter 8 this morning. Mark chapter 8. We'll pick up in verse 11 with a message entitled Blind Spot. Blind Spot. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Church, if you have your Bible open and you're ready to dive into God's word, can I get a let's do this? Let's do this. Here we go. Verse 11. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large basketful of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Then he came to Bethesda, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Would you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, we have come to your word this morning. We have read it, and we ask, Father, that you would speak to us as your people. We ask, Lord, that you would take this section of scripture and by your spirit you would illuminate it, that, Father, we would understand as believers how important clear spiritual sight is. That, Father, we would be made aware of any areas in our life where spiritually we have blind spots. We are not seeing your working. We are not seeing and understanding the truth of your word. And, Father, that you would bring correction to our spiritual vision. Father, we ask that, God, you would do a work in the lives of your people. But, Father, even those that may gather here this morning, come with a friend because their friend is getting baptized, or stumble across the service online, if they're not right with you, I pray, Lord, that they would see the darkness that we live in apart from your Son, Jesus, and that the light of Christ would illuminate their life and that you would draw them unto yourself. And so, Father, help us to not be people who walk in darkness, but people that are of the light, walking in the light, having a spiritual vision that is clear, that is resolved. And so be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. I can remember the moment in my life when I realized I might need glasses. Where I realized, okay, my vision is not what it once was. I was actually at an Angel game. I was watching a baseball game, and I saw myself looking up at the Jumbotron and squinting to see the score. Yeah, now that gets real when you are struggling to see letters and numbers that are like 15 feet tall. Right? It's one thing to be in a restaurant in dim lighting with that menu that they print in a size 7 font, but to gaze at a jumbotron and go, I think that's a 1. It's kind of a reminder to me that, hey, it might be time to get my eyes checked. So I went in for my eye exam, and you know what that's like if you've ever had an eye exam. You go in and instantly you have hundreds, if not thousands, of pairs of glasses staring at you, kind of secretly mocking you. Haha, you need me. I'll see you later. You sit down then and fill out paperwork about how often you have a headache or if you squint at things or if you struggle to see at night when you drive. And then you're called in for your exam that has that tricky moment where the doctor will ask you to stare at the hot air balloon, right, in the little machine. And then right when you let your guard down, they punch you with a burst of air, right? You know it's coming, you kind of squint, you're waiting for it, and then when you least expect it, poof, it gets you. And you go through a series of tests, testing your understanding of the alphabet, right? E, I, O. And then the big questions, what option is better, option 1 or option 2? Option 1, option 2. And it's like, man, my eyesight depends on this. And then at the end of the exam, you're given the results and you find out, well, I did, that I needed glasses, not just for fashion, not just some of the time, but all of the time I needed corrective lenses. You know that for us as believers or us as human beings, there is before us kind of a spiritual eye exam. We are either ones who are spiritually blind, that is walking in darkness, or we are ones that are spiritually illuminated, having our spiritual sight restored and walking in light. The scripture walks us through and shows us how the importance of our spiritual vision matters, that we are either in darkness, we are blind, or we are in light, having spiritual vision. You could walk it through scripture, especially in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 35, where the Bible speaks of Jesus the Messiah giving sight to the blind, restoring hearing to the deaf, and we see an example of it here, and we saw an example of it in chapter 7. But you go into the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 4, it says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. There is a blindness that we must be aware of. When Jesus converted Paul on the road to Damascus and Paul would retell his conversion story, Jesus made it clear that Paul would be sent out to open people's eyes that they would turn from darkness. And Paul would write in Ephesians that we once were in full darkness, but we have been brought because of Jesus into the light. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, spiritual blindness, and brought into the kingdom of the Son in whom he loves. And so this morning, let's take a spiritual eye exam and see the results. There are 3 results to a spiritual eye exam. Our spiritual vision is seen in 3 results in our text. The first result that we will see is complete spiritual blindness. Complete spiritual blindness. A person that has so rejected Jesus that Jesus rejects them. The second result in our spiritual vision test is impaired spiritual sight. Impaired spiritual sight, those moments where we have blind spots in our lives, where we are missing what God is saying or what God is doing. And the third and final result to our spiritual vision test is restored spiritual vision. There is hope for us in our moments of blindness. There is hope for us in our moments when our spiritual vision is impaired and the darkness has maybe creeped in. There is restored spiritual vision. So let's look through and see some of these results. We have our first group that gets the results of their spiritual vision test. These scribes and Pharisees, these religious leaders that show up throughout the gospel, and here is the result of their test. The glasses are silently mocking them and really saying, there's no hope for you. It is complete spiritual blindness. Look at what we pick up with after Jesus has fed the 4,000. He brings his disciples across to an area close to Capernaum. And it says in verse 11, then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. Do me a favor, look at verse 11 and look at the actions of these completely spiritually blind people. They come out at Jesus. They dispute with Jesus. They are seeking a sign from Jesus, and they're testing Jesus. That'll just set the stage for the results of complete spiritual blindness. From that, we find in verse 12, but he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them and getting into a boat, departed to the other side. Look at this result of complete spiritual blindness. Now we would kind of look at this. It says that they came out to him. You might see them in the distance and your response would be, here comes trouble. You ever have that as a grandparent? You see one of your grandchildren marching towards you. Uh-oh, here comes trouble. Put up anything that can break. You're at work and you see one of the supervisors and just by the way in which they pull into the yard, it's, oh, here comes trouble. I better go and hide because you can tell that the spirit, the intentions are not good. It says here that these Pharisees, they come out at Jesus. One of the ways of looking at this is they are like in military rank coming towards him. What Mark doesn't tell us that Matthew does is that they're not alone. They're marching like a military towards Jesus, but they are accompanied by, in Matthew 16, the Sadducees. It's really unique that if you look at it, these Pharisees are now teaming up with their opponents, the Sadducees. They had many different beliefs. They didn't get along on a lot of things, but here they're marching together to get Jesus. They're willing to put aside some of their differences to come and try to attack him. They come out after him. Their intention is not, well, let's go lovingly and sincerely act. No, they're like on a military campaign going, we will even team up with our enemy to try to get our greater enemy, Jesus. It's kind of like the United States teaming up with a terrorist group to go after another nation. Like, hey, let's team up with Hezbollah to try to go after another nation. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees are doing to try to come after Jesus. Spiritual blindness is seen in our approach towards Jesus. You find that this approach is to come out after, to come out for his destruction. You see, secondly in the text, that they want to dispute him. That is the attitude and the actions of being argumentative. To dispute means to oppose. They're not coming out of sincerity. They're not as the brothers and sisters that have gathered here today and you're going, I want to learn more. I have my questions. I may have my doubts. I may have my things I'm working through. That's not the intention here. To dispute means they're coming to oppose and to argue with. Their self-righteousness, their own implied wisdom and knowledge, they don't want what Jesus has. They want rather to try to prove Jesus wrong. Look at the next thing in this spiritual blindness as they come. They come to control. It says in verse 11, they're seeking a sign. The whole asking is this understanding. It's written in a way that they are attempting to gain control of the situation. They're trying to trap Jesus. Their asking of a sign is different than all of the miracles Jesus had done. They're asking literally for something in the heavens to happen that Jesus could say, look, here is proof that I am who I said I am, that I am the one that I have promised to be. They're asking for something apart from Scripture, apart from what Jesus had done, that in Jewish tradition they believed only God could do in giving a sign from heaven. It really comes out of this section of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 13. What they're trying to do is control Jesus. They're trying to trap him. They're trying to disprove him. There's no honest curiosity. There's no sincere seeking. This is a group marching for the destruction of Jesus. If there was a sign from heaven, they would use it to twist it, to prove and try to show that Jesus wasn't who he said he was. You see, finally, in this spiritual blindness, get an understanding of the attitude and the actions. In verse 11, they go to test him. Now, testing can be a good thing. Right, if you've ever dug through a box of junk, you maybe went to a yard sale and you bought a whole box. It was just a box. It was a couple of bucks. And you're thinking, hey, it's worth it. I see at least one thing in there I'm interested in. And you empty the box and you get down to the bottom of it. And there at the bottom of the box, you find a gold watch or a piece of jewelry. You might think instantly of those moments when you read an article online or you saw a TV show where somebody found a watch or a piece of jewelry. They found treasure amongst trash, right? And it's like they found out that they had a watch that was worth $250,000. And you might think, is this my moment? Is the Lord going to bless me from above with my $2 box of junk? Right? And you'll want to take that watch maybe to a jeweler and have it tested. Right? The test is to show the authenticity, to show the value of it. That's a good test. But do you see in verse 11 where it says they went to test him? This testing is not to try to discover if something is having merit or genuine. Rather, the word testing here, it speaks of an obstacle or a stumbling block. It's as if they're trying to set up some spiritual wipeout to try to knock Jesus off. A spiritual dodgeball to try to bring destruction to him. Look at this result of spiritual blindness. It is an individual that has so completely rejected Jesus that they take any act of his love, any miraculous work to display his deity and power, any display of his compassion upon humanity, and they want to trample it underfoot. They want to destroy it. They want to explain it away. They want to reject it. This is the scribes and Pharisees that are so completely blind that their conclusion of Jesus is that what he does with the power of Satan. It is that reminder of Mark 3, verse 22, where Jesus points out their blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that they are so completely blind that to them the cross will be evil, the works of Jesus are demonic, and the good news of Jesus is a message of darkness. It's complete blindness. Look at in this result how Jesus responds. It says in verse 12 that he sighs deeply. You have in Jesus' response from his sigh in verse 12 to his questioning in verse 12 of why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. You have the dismay and the despair and the broken heart of Jesus over complete blindness. Jesus' response is not only a response of frustration and agitation, not only a response of a broken heart, but it's also a response of rejection. Jesus walks out on them. Jesus leaves them. This complete blindness is to such a point that there is no hope. Understand how it grieves the heart of God. We saw Jesus sigh at the deaf man that he healed. Right, in his communication with him, he sighed greatly. Here Jesus in a more intense sigh over the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees follows up with a response that doesn't translate the best from the original language into English. Matter of fact, if you look at it, the original language construction gives it as a Hebrew oath. Listen to how Kent Hughes puts it. The literal translation of Jesus' words are this: if shall be given to this generation a sign, then he states that the conclusion is silent, meaning that Jesus in his oath is going, man, if there's a sign over my dead body, if there is a sign in the heavens, may I die. In other words, you get the frustration, the brokenheartedness of Jesus, and you get the rejection. Jesus calls them this generation a wicked generation, as seen in Genesis 7 as seen in the generation of the wilderness wanderers that rejected God. Now, we hear stuff like that, and that can scare some of us. Some of you might sit here and go, oh no, am I completely spiritually blind? Has Jesus rejected me? Has he walked out on me? Has he got into the boat and gone to the other side? Has he said, there's no sign for you, I'm out of here and left you? If you are at that point of concern, I'm here to tell you that you're not completely spiritually blind. That Christ has not walked out or rejected you, that there is still hope for you. What you may have at this moment is some blind spots in your life. Look at the second result. The second result is amongst Jesus' disciples. It's impaired spiritual sight. It's impaired spiritual sight. We find in verse 14, as they've got into the boat and they've gone to the other side, Jesus has another interaction, the third interaction by the lakeside or on the boat with his disciples. It says, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Stop there for a moment in the text. Look at what you find here is a group of disciples that have followed Jesus, a group of disciples that have been with Jesus, but they have, like we can have from time to time, impaired spiritual sight. They're missing some things. They have a blind spot. I don't know if you've ever been driving and on the radio is your song, right? That moment you get caught up, it's your song, whether it's some country song that may be a few years old. It's like once it comes on, you turn it up. If you're using your phone, you may just repeat it. You have it on loop, and you can really get into your song. And as you're going down the road and you're listening to the beat, you're maybe hitting the steering wheel. People are driving by you going, man, they're really enjoying their song. You look in your rearview mirror. You look in your side mirror. You're enjoying your song. And then you go to make a lane change. And your song is interrupted by the horn of the person in the lane you're trying to get into. Right, it interrupts the music, and you realize that though you didn't see them in your rearview mirror, you didn't see them in your side mirror, you forgot to check what? Your blind spot. And they jolt you alive, and then they pass you really quick, and they share all kinds of things about your character, and they give you a suggestion to get your eyes checked, right? But you missed it. It was in your blind spot. Impaired spiritual sight. Those blind spot moments in our life when we are not seeing what Jesus is saying to us. There's some encouragement here to see that even these disciples that are with Jesus still had some blind spots. That even for us, as we look at this and we get the results to our spiritual vision, that we must be aware of impaired spiritual sight. And there are three blind spots for us as believers in this little section with the disciples. Three blind spots to check. If you want to know, am I spiritually impaired in my vision? Look at this first blind spot. There's a lack of alertness. A blind spot in your spiritual vision is when you become lax in your awareness, your alertness to what Jesus tells you to watch out for. Look at what it says in verse 15. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They got in the boat so quickly that they had only had one loaf of bread. The disciples are thinking about it. And Jesus gives them a warning to watch out. If you look at it, when he says, take heed, beware, watch out, it's a continual taking heed, a continual watching out. I mean, this is something that Jesus would share over and over again. This isn't something that just meant for that moment. It's for us even today. Hey, watch out. Take heed. You see, throughout Scripture, Jesus says, watch out. It's a call for alertness in our life. But when our spiritual vision becomes impaired, we miss that blind spot. We no longer are watching out. He comes to him and says, take heed or watch out, be alert, Be alert for, and look at this, the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. The disciples take it literally, and they're thinking, we can't buy bread from them. Do they have a bread shop we don't know about? When Jesus is asking for something spiritual, he's teaching a spiritual truth. Look at this, this alertness. When we stop looking for and being aware of the leaven of this world. Now, what does leaven speak of? Leaven is found in Scripture, and it's a majority of the time a reference to corruption or sin or evil or wickedness. It's not looked at in a spiritual sense as a good thing. We know of leaven as that yeast agent that causes bread to fermentate and to rise, right? And to get a nice, big, fluffy loaf of bread. Leaven here for the ancient world was actually much more dangerous than it is for us. You know, with the pandemic we faced, it was hard to find yeast and people were starting their own cultures and you had all these things going on of like, I started my own fermenting and I have my own yeast, but it can be rather dangerous. For leaven in the ancient world, the idea of fermentating your own dough and saving a piece of it and adding the juices to continue the batch from going, those batches would easily become tainted. And as they became tainted, they could end up poisoning the bread and poisoning the batches to come and resulting in dough that was tainted and poisonous to those that eat it. And here Jesus is saying, you've got to watch out because there are things in this world, the Pharisees and Herod, that can taint, that can be poisonous to you. When our spiritual vision is impaired, it prevents us from watching out and not seeing the wickedness, the evil, and the destructive poison of this world. When he speaks of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod, you find in Scripture where there's moments where Jesus refers to what it is. In Matthew 16, the disciples will realize that this leaven, it speaks of the deceptive teachings of the Pharisees. In Luke, it refers to the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. If you look at Herod in his life, it speaks of the secularism, the desire for worldly pleasure, self-interest, a lack of concern for God. Both of these groups wanted a sign from Jesus, but they did not want Jesus. It is for us a blind spot in our life when we allow the entertainment, when we allow the trappings, when we allow the corruption of this world to enter into our life instead of watching out for it. Look at the second blind spot. The second blind spot that impairs our spiritual vision is seeking understanding apart from Jesus. Seeking understanding apart from Jesus. We see the disciples do something that is out of the norm for some of their other responses. It says in verse 16, look at this, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? The disciples take the words of Jesus, and what are they doing? They're trying to understand it in their own power. They're trying to figure it out amongst themselves. They're like a moment when you have blood results emailed to you, and you sit down with your smartphone and your blood results, and you try to interpret them. Right, you Google all of the different numbers and all the stuff, and man, about 15 minutes of interpreting your own blood results or looking at your own x-rays, you've got yourself dying in 3 to 6 months. Right, you got yourself with some type of weird, failure of an organ. You're like, that's it. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you their opinion, and they go, you're totally fine. You were looking at the wrong numbers. That doesn't matter when these numbers are so good. The disciples are guilty of the very same thing with the teaching of Jesus. It was a blind spot. They're taking his instruction and they are translating it and trying to understand it in their own power. You see that referred to in the text twice. In verse 16 and in verse 17 in that word reason. Maybe your translation says discuss. To reason and discuss is found 7 times in Mark. But never positively. It is always seen in various parties from the scribes, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, and it's always used when those groups are attempting to resolve the meaning of Jesus on their own. Do you see it? We are spiritually impaired when we are trying to understand and interpret things in our own power and our own strength. When we are, listen, when we take the truth of God's word and we apply our feelings to it. You read it and you go, well, I just feel like this is what it means. That is seeking understanding apart from Jesus. Where we may go and we read a section, we go, you know, just for to me, this section of scripture, to me, this is what it means. That's seeking in our own effort. It is not about what it means to me, but it is about what Jesus meant when he said it. You see this blind spot that can come in when we allow our feelings to interpret the scripture, when we decide our own life to interpret the scripture. But look at what you find here. They are doing that in their own power when you find in Mark chapter 4 and in Mark chapter 7, what did the disciples do when they didn't understand? They asked Jesus. It's a blind spot in our life. When we seek understanding apart from the wisdom and the truth of Jesus. Look at the third blind spot. You find a third blind spot in this text when we get caught up in the physical realities. Remember, they get in the boat, they only have one loaf. They're physically looking at that loaf. They're physically looking at the 13 of them in the boat. All they physically see is the bread. And we see in verse 15, then he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves saying, is it because we have no bread? Do you see their perspective? It's all physical. A great sign of impaired spiritual sight is when there's a greater concern for physical realities rather than spiritual truth. Greater concern for physical realities than spiritual truth. They're seeing their one loaf. Here's the crazy thing. They're seeing their one physical loaf, but they had the greatest of all loaves in the boat with them, the bread of life. But all they saw was the physical reality. All they saw was one loaf to 13 hungry, growing boys. And Jesus is pointing a spiritual truth. The physical realities, think about it in those moments when the physical realities will crowd out and impair our spiritual vision. The physical realities, the physical fears, anxieties, the physical needs that come in and they begin to crowd out, and all we see is our fear and live in it. All we see is our anxiety and live in it. All we see is our needs and live in it and forget the spiritual truths behind it, that God is faithful, that God is our provider. Those moments when we take the physical realities, how often do we think of God's blessings as just a physical blessing? Oh, I'm blessed by God because of the physical car I purchased, or the physical house that I had, or the physical number of the money in my bank account. When how often can there not be spiritual truth and spiritual blessings that even come when the physical is failing or when the physical is lost? A blind spot, the physical reality crowds out the spiritual truth. Look at how Jesus deals with that. He comes and he delivers in his awareness a rebuke to his disciples. There are a series of questions that he brings to them. There's one question after another. It's kind of like question time with Jesus. 20 questions. He drops it on them one after another in a mild rebuke of wait, check your blind spot. Check your blind spot. And he comes to him and look at the questions he begins to say in verse 17. Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves and for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of fragments did you take up? And he pauses and they respond, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of fragments did you take up? 7. Verse 21. How is it you don't or do not understand? Look at what Jesus does in his response. He walks us through really his teachings and his actions that our spiritual vision may be restored and not impaired. Look at what he does. They're in a boat with one loaf and 13 people, and they're kind of wondering, oh no, do we have enough food? Is this about food? And Jesus takes them where? To the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. Jesus comes through and walks them through in these questions. Look at the first series of questions. It's a reminder of Jesus' teachings. Do you perceive? Do you have eyes and not see? Do you have ears and not hear? This is a reminder of his parables that when he taught in Mark chapter 4, and he told these guys that you have been invited in, the kingdom of heaven is yours, you're a part of it. And to those outside, they have ears but do not hear. They have eyes but do not see. It's a reminder of his teaching. Do you remember what I have taught you? Do you remember the spiritual reality behind what I have explained to you? Do you understand that it is the teachings of Jesus, his word, in which is life and his guidance? His spirit that has been given to us to lead and guide us in all truth. Look at the next set. Do you not remember? And he goes to the 5 loaves. He goes to the 7 loaves. He goes to the multitude of thousands of people. It's his miracles in which he fed and ministered to them. Look at this. Your spiritual blind spots are revealed in the teachings and in the work and instruction of Jesus. He leaves it in verse 12, or 21 rather, how is it that you do not understand? Now it simmers there in Mark, and it picks up in one illustration in a moment, but Matthew gives us a little glimpse in Matthew 16 and verse 12. They understood. It says clearly the disciples from those questions, they're reminded of the teachings and the works of Jesus, that they knew what he was talking about with 11, that it had to do with the false teachings of these religious leaders. There's hope. Look at this. Spiritual impaired vision and sight. There is hope in Christ that it may be seen, that our eyes may be opened. You have here a little glimpse of the disciples as if their vision is improving. It's that reminder for you and I. Listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows completely now. Listen, church, we may see things dimly. We may have moments where our blind spot catches us. But look at what we see in this illustration in verse 22, that the final result is that there is a restoring of vision. Though we may see dimly in a mirror, though it may be incomplete, though what may be a fog today, and as Jesus is gracious to us, he will restore. Look at what happens in the next section. The restoring of vision in verse 22, you see, then he came to Bethesda, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit in his eyes and put his hand on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Look at this. Verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. He sees dimly. He sees incomplete. But look at verse 25. Then he put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. This section applies so well to the last two that we looked at. This whole section in the blind spot that can be present in our life, in our spiritual vision, comes together in this wonderful illustration. The idea of sight and vision is so central to this section that between verse 23 and 25, Mark uses 8 different Greek words for sight. Like, he really is pushing through their seeing, the saw, the look up, the clearly, to really drive through. Like, look at this. There is a restoring of vision that is present for us when we may have blind spots, when we may miss out, when we may not be seeing clearly as Jesus sees. And look at how this restoring vision transpires. You see the call and instruction for us to trust. This blind man in Bethesda is brought by his friends or his family to Jesus. There's a trust in these friends and family. They're trusting Jesus. We've got to bring our friend, our family member to him. There's a trust that this blind man has to put in Jesus. A man that is not a part of his family. And look at this trust that's exhibited. Jesus takes this man and leads him out of the town. You have a man who is completely blind being trusting Jesus to safely navigate him through the town. Jesus grabs him by the hand. Jesus is his eyes. He's walking without seeing, and Jesus is the one telling him, be careful, there's a pothole here. Be careful of the puddle. Jesus is the one guiding him. Hey, in 10 steps, we need to move to the right. Hey, there's a cart to your left. He has to trust in Jesus' instructions to get him out. He has to trust that Jesus is taking him completely out of the town, taking him away from the people. If he is not healed, how is he going to navigate himself as a blind man back into the town? He has to trust Jesus. Jesus does what he did with the deaf man in chapter 7, in isolating him from the people. It's a private, one-on-one, personal meeting. It's a trust between a man in need and one who can heal. It is really a demonstration of relationship. The commentator William Lane says this, when Jesus took the blind man's hand and led him outside the city, he established a personal relationship to him that was an important element in the man's confidence that his cure could be expected from Jesus. There is a trusting relationship as he takes his hand and leads him. There's a touch. He's touched by Jesus. Look at how it goes. He took the blind man, he spit on his eyes, and he put his hands on him and asked him if he saw anything. Verse 25, he put his hands on his eyes again. Now, where we had the deaf man and we had that involvement of saliva was a sign of cure or miracle, Jesus does it here again. And while the deaf man had no sound effects, this blind man, all he had was the sound effects. All he had was the feeling of the saliva. A man who could not see the heightened senses of touch and sound. I remember a friend of mine who worked in a movie theater through high school, and he, being in those dark theaters all the time, had his hearing heightened to where he could tell you what value of coin dropped in the movie theater. I remember as a guy, it's like, oh yeah, and we got a bunch of change, and we would drop change, and he'd go, you just dropped 35 cents. It was a quarter and a dime. Because he couldn't see in the darkness of the theater, there's the heightened hearing, and you have this man who would hear the spit of Jesus, feel it, and the touch of Jesus. This touch brings a restoring, but look at it, it's progressive. It wasn't that Jesus didn't have power, that his first attempt failed. No, look at what he's doing. He's outside of the town. It is just this man and his disciples. Jesus's Galilean ministry has ended. He's focusing on his disciples who were struggling in their vision. It was impaired. And look at the hope he gives to them. He sees first the disciples as if they are trees. He has a blurred vision. Jesus then touches him again, and look at this. His eyes are opened. He sees clearly. There is complete restoration. He would sing Amazing Grace. He would easily say, I once was blind, but now I see. but it comes from the trusting and the touch of Jesus. Church, this is where it becomes so important for us to distinguish. Our spiritual blindness, our spiritual sight that can be impaired, is only restored through the trust and the touch of Jesus. If you this morning would understand and trust Jesus and let him lead you out of the camp, out of the city, out of the town, he would lead you to the cross where he was crucified. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13 says he was taken out of the city where he was crucified for you and me. The trust of Jesus to trust in his life given on our behalf, that Christ entered darkness of death and sin, that we might enter into the light of life and relationship with him. Oh, the touch of Jesus. Would you understand how he has touched you and me? When we see the touches of Jesus, he touches the unclean, he touches the defiled. But what is the history of Jesus? He touches those that are unclean and untouchable. And Jesus himself is not contaminated, but the defiled are made clean and restored. Will you come and hear the touch of Jesus? He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Our eyes are opened in the beauty of the gospel message that Christ can be trusted. He died in my place. Christ touches my life and takes my sin upon himself, my blindness upon himself, and he dies for the wage of my sin, and he gives me his sight. He gives me his life. He gives me his light and relationship with him. Our blind spots are handled only through the cross, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Father, thank you for the wonderful touch, the wonderful leading of your Son. Thank you, God, that we are led to the cross where we are not hanging, but your only begotten beloved Son is hanging on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your Son Jesus to die for our sin. Thank you, Lord, that you have not left us without hope and without help in our times of blindness. Thank you, Father, that your touch restores, that, Lord, you restore sight, that you make us aware of blind spots, that, Father, you lead and you guide, and that above all, you, Father, in your Son, took our sins, placed them upon him, and took his life and gave it to us. Father, help us as believers to walk in the light. Help us, Lord, to watch out and to be alert and not to fall into darkness. Help us, Lord, not to seek understanding in our own effort and our own understanding, but in the revelation of your Son in his works and in his word. Help us, Father, to not be so focused on the temporal, the physical, but understand the spiritual truth, the spiritual work that you are working in our lives by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.